So the Emmys were nominated, like were launched today. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
So here's what people really here's what people got a little pissed about. Let's talk about the Emmys for a little bit because this is kind of interesting, and I think you might actually care about some of this. First of all, what people are really pissed off about is, well, actually, hold on. Did Flash 4 get an Emmy nomination?
Did it really?
Did it?
No way.
I think it did, yeah. Hold on.
What?
Yeah.
What the
outstanding
hell?
Cinematography for a one-hour series and outstanding music composition for a series and outstanding stunt coordination. Wait, are these Emmys? Yes, those are the Emmys. So what this means, Michael, is that, and I saw someone tweet this, Flash Forward has actually received more Emmy nominations than The Wire did.
That's ridiculous. that was not a good show.
Yeah.
That was really not a good show, and I watched it. I gave it a good chance.
What did you not like about it again, Michael?
It just moved so ass slow. It was just unbelievably slow. Like, it took forever to say anything. And it just wasn't enough to hold my interest. I'm a pretty patient guy, you know. I stuck with Heroes for 4 seasons. And yeah, I mean I couldn't handle Flash Forward.
We were supposed to have the Heroes guy on our show, actually. Tim Kring, who did the Heroes.
Yeah.
That never materialized, but
I think that's okay.
You know, Devendra and Adam used to be Heroes fans too, and when I told Devendra, I thought he'd be like at least moderately excited that we might be having the Heroes guy on. And he was not. Like, apparently.
Yeah, that show is unbearable.
Is it canceled? Heroes?
I don't think so. I think I got picked up again.
Heroes 5th season?
It's canceled.
What was good about, Heroes will most likely get a 5th season or will not. I don't know. No one really knows. Heroes is done. Someone says Heroes is done.
May 14th.
All right. What else? Breaking Bad got a bunch of nominations, which is awesome. Outstanding drama series, lead actor for Bryan Cranston, supporting actor for Aaron Paul. The episode 1 minute got a nomination for outstanding directing. So
I love Frozen Hamster's description of Heroes.
Heroes season 1 is like jerking off for 20 hours, only have no jizz come out when everything's over. That's awesome. Also, Glee got a crap ton of nominations. What else? Conan O'Brien got a ton of nominations. 4 nominations for that show. Did you see?
Yeah.
And you see the tweet that Conan wrote? He said, congrats to my staff on the 4 Emmy nominations. This bodes well for the future of The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien. Oh, man. And Leno got 0. And apparently Leno joked about it on the air tonight. So,
oh, is he still around?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Is that guy still relevant?
No, he's not really. Something else I saw that was pretty interesting today, too, on Mediaite. But, I don't know anymore. Mike, have you been reading any news? Oh, yeah. Tell me what you think about this Real ID thing. Because you're a World of Warcraft person, right?
I was, yeah.
You were a World of Warcraft person.
So
for those who don't know, by the way, there's 38 people in the room now.
That's pretty big.
Blizzard basically said, hey, from now on, like forum posts are going to be using your real name. Right.
Mike, yeah. Are you talking to me?
Yes. Well, let me ask you this. Did you ever use the forums in WoW?
No.
Do you ever visit them at all?
Yeah, no. I read them.
You read them, but you never used them yourself.
I mean, yeah, people would post like their builds and strategies and stuff. It's pretty nerdy, but
okay, so what would you sort of What do you think of this plan? What do you think of this plan? People have a lot of objections to this plan, right?
Yeah.
One of them is like, I don't want my boss knowing that I'm, you know, gonna be on the WoW forum at like 4 a.m. posting.
Right.
You know, one of them is, you know, if you're a woman, you don't want someone to be stalking you.
Yeah, I think those are totally legitimate. I think it's a stupid policy, and I think Blizzard is stupid for implementing it.
But isn't there something kind of appealing about using your real identity though? Like, because you would cut down on like the bad things too, though.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you cut down on like trolling and stuff. But it's not like, I mean, like for me personally, I never went to the forums for like heavy intellectual discourse, you know, and like only to be greeted by like trolls and stuff. I only went if I needed something, you know.
But maybe now there will be heavily intellectual discourse.
I highly doubt that. I really don't think that is going to be an issue. I mean, I don't think people are going to be engaging in that kind of thing at all. And it's like, I mean, there are a lot of problems with it. You know, like it's, you know, essentially what we're doing is we're punishing the people. Like, it's not really going to stop the trolls, I don't think. Like, people are still going to do what they do. Like, I don't think they really care about, like, retribution or anything. But I really think that it's going to hurt people who want to contribute, you know, to discussion. If they are afraid of, like, douchebags, you know, having, getting a hold of their real name. I really think that it's going to be a big problem. Despite that, I really don't think the response is appropriate either.
What the response being?
Well, you sent me that Blogspot page or that Blogger page this morning.
Yeah.
About how
they're basically people are basically digging into the personal lives of Blizzard employees and putting it onto the internet.
Yeah.
And you don't think that's good?
No. I think it's. I mean, no one is forcing you to play WoW, and they've let you know way ahead of time that they're going to implement this, and not only that, like it only happens in the forums. I mean I think like you shouldn't like your friends shouldn't have access to it. I think that's a pretty stupid implementation, but at the same time, it's like, you know, that kind of response I think is really immature. And it's like exactly the kind of thing that they're trying to combat with this. I mean, the guy's doing it anonymously, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so that's pretty messed up.
I mean, honestly, when I first heard about the policy, I was like, I thought that was a really good idea, actually.
Yeah, no, exactly. It seems like a really good idea on the surface. But I think if you really think about it, and not only that, there's some psychos out there, too.
And it also strikes me that the people who would participate on the forum are people that are good at doing computer things and would be able to somehow like find a way around the real ID system.
I guess so.
And basically those are the people that you want to quote unquote catch in the first place.
Yeah.
You know?
But I mean, like, seriously, there are psychos out there. Like, here, let me read you a story from Kotaku.
Let's hear the story, the psycho story.
Man spends 6 months plotting murder of Counter-Strike rival.
When was this from?
May
29, 2010. So like a month ago.
So this 20-year-old guy had his Counter-Strike character knifed in a game. And the guy spent 6 months tracking him down in the real world.
Oh my
and
God.
Plunged a kitchen knife into his chest.
Did he succeed?
He didn't kill him.
So, but he actually knifed him.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
The judge who locked him up for 2 years on a charge of causing grievous bodily harm said, "You are a menace to society. I am frankly terrified of the disproportionate reaction you could have if someone looked at you the wrong way in the street." So I think this man is obviously insane. Like he's. He's got some pretty serious problems. But I think real ID makes you know, everyone a potential victim.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty frightening.
So, yeah, I mean, there are people like that out there. So I think it's that kind of
The thing is, I fear those people all the time. Like, I have, you know, when I cut someone off on the road by accident, you know, I want to apologize.
Yeah,
you know,
you're always afraid that they're going to, like,
I'm always afraid that they're going to follow me
down to DMV, and he's going to track down your license plate number, and he's going to come and plunge a knife in your chest.
Exactly. They're going to follow me to my next stop, get out of the car, and then take out a gun and shoot me.
Bludgeon you to death.
Yeah, you know, something horrible. But at the same time, why do I think that? Because I watch a lot of movies, and that happens a lot in movies. Right. At the same time, though, the likelihood of that happening is so statistically insignificant. There's like a 0.0001% chance.
It's more than zero.
That's right.
So,
I guess it's like eating fugu. You know, fugu.
Yeah.
The poison fish. Every year, people eat fugu, and some people die. And it's right. Like, why would you eat it if there's a chance you'll die at all? And it's like, well, you just got to weigh the risks of, like, if you want to have fun in life, you want to have a thrill, you got to weigh the risk of A, dying from fugu, or B, someone tracking you down, you know, on WoW, plunging a or on Counter-Strike and plunging a knife into your chest.
Yeah, but now WoW.
Now WoW as well.
Yeah. And it's even worse than WoW, because they just hand you the,
Name. It makes it much more easy to track down the person.
Yeah,
basically. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I'm really opposed to the policy. I think Blizzard has the right to implement it, though, and I think I honestly don't know why they do. I don't know how much of the resources they devote to actually moderating the forums that they felt like they needed to do this. And like now I'm sure like StarCraft 2 and Diablo 3 are all going to come out with this real ID system. And it's probably going to make me less inclined to play those games.
Can people identify you by your ID in the game?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think that's right.
Someone's friend list, huh?
No, I think it's only if you participate in the forum.
Let me give me one second.
Pretty sure it's only forum stuff.
Pretty sure if you're on each other's friends list, then it would work. It's in place for that.
Now we gotta find out. We're finding out. LID friends list. A service that allows friends to easily follow each other's activities in Blizzard games like World of Warcraft. It introduces cross-game chat and social networking features that let users see not just their friends, but also their friends' friends.
Yep.
However, Blizzard is requiring users to register for the service with their real names. But my guess is you could still play the games? No, probably not, right?
It's hard to say. I mean, yeah. I guess we'll see how they implement it.
Because you have to, when you play a game, it's tied into a specific username.
Yeah.
So
honestly, I feel like instead of people just bitching about it, I think they should just stop playing, but they're not going to. So just going to whine about it.
Yeah.
The real way to get them to stop is to not play, but.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with, like, World of Warcraft players? And I say that respectfully because I once was an addict.
Are you going to play StarCraft, do you think? Or, I mean...
Probably not.
Let's say it requires real ID. Would you play StarCraft?
I mean, I'm not a big StarCraft fan anyway. You know, I'd like to play casually, but I think... my name is Michael Chen. So I don't really think it's going to be a big issue for me.
Right.
Because, if you're trying to track down a Michael Chen, then...
Good luck to you.
Yeah, I know.
You're screwed.
I knew about, like... I had about, you know, 12 Michael Chens friended on Facebook. But, I think if your name is less common, then that sucks. I think I can preserve my anonymity.
I wonder like how they're gonna deal with that though. Like, there's gotta be like a gajillion Michael Chens and David Chens.
Yeah.
So how would they make them distinct?
Yeah, I don't know.
By
and that's the other thing. Racism. Racism is gonna be a big problem. I think.
What do you mean?
Yeah, because now you just essentially, like, most people, your name represents your ethnicity. Like, it's pretty easy to tell.
Right.
And, like, people are just going to assume even if it doesn't. So, yeah, I mean, I think, it sucks for people who have, like, you know, Asian names, Indian names, you know.
You know what we should do? What time you got to wake up tomorrow, Mike?
5.
Okay, I should probably let you go there.
5:30 or something like that.
I should probably, some guy wrote to the Slash Filmcast with a 12-page review of Toy Story 3. And I was going to, I thought the review, he might be listening right now, but I thought the review was just completely nonsensical. And like, I disagreed with virtually everything he said. And I since you just saw the movie, I was like, hey, maybe we could read some sections of this review and then dissect it. But you got to wake up. And, what are you doing? Why are you waking up so early?
I'm probably going to go biking.
Okay.
So he didn't like it?
No. Actually, hold on. Let me see if I can... Let's do... Here. What? You can stay on for another, like, 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do another 5 minutes. Let's see if we can get some... I'm opening it right now.
What did everyone here think of Toy Story?
Yeah, what did people here think of, in the room think of Toy Story 3? Let us know. Salter wrote that review?
Salter.
Oh, did Salter really write it? If so, then prepare for a thrashing. Okay, the title of this review is Third Time is Definitely Not the Charm. Here we go.
Did we find out?
Let's see. Da-da-da-da-da. Scrolling down. He basically goes through a history of all of the Pixar films and then talks about why they're awesome. And now Toy Story 3. All right.
Which montage are you referring to, Bo? Bow? Oh, the outfits one?
Okay, here. Andy is the only character left who has an arc that remains unexplored. We need to see how he is going to emotionally deal with putting away childish things. And I guess we should say spoilers for Toy Story 3 coming up.
Wow. Because you already did.
Huh?
That was a spoiler.
Not really.
Okay, fine.
It's kind of introduced at the beginning. Andy's mom has suddenly done a complete about face and become one of those shrill shrews for whom every movement of their progeny is a sufferance to be endured with the least amount of grace. When did she become such a flustered and angry cow? Why does Andy's mere presence seem to irritate her so much?
Wow, she had like 3 lines.
Yeah, I know. It was like not a big deal at all. She's like a normal mom. At this early stage in the film, I was also struck with how such beloved characters as Bo Peep, Wheezy, and so many of the other toys from the first two films were so cavalierly discarded from the story with just a few lines of dialogue. Wait a minute, they're all gone? When did that happen? ! All of a sudden, it seemed as if we were thrust into the middle of a toy adaptation of Agatha Christie's 10 Little Indians. A scene that should have conveyed real emotional weight was hurried through with no respect offered to the dearly departed. Did the other toys get to say goodbye? How did the sudden departure of their longtime friends affect them? We don't know, because they breezed past such difficult and yet such necessary plot points as quickly as possible. I don't know that that's necessary at all.
Yeah, I don't think anyone loved Bo Peep as much as you did.
I think no one really needed to know what happened to the Bo Peep character.
I honestly, maybe this discredits my ability to talk about this film, but I don't remember who Wheezy is.
he was the squeaky toy from Toy Story 2, the penguin.
Oh, and RC, I actually did miss RC. Yeah, I really don't think it was an important plot point. I really don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, it's understandable that Andy would jettison toys throughout the course of...
Yeah, I mean, it's been like 10 years, dude.
It's like, he's not going to hang on to Bo Peep, okay? Like, there's no reason for Bo Peep to be there. I was captivated by the opening sequence, which is a hilarious and heartwarming way to encapsulate what the toys are going to lose when Andy leaves for college. However, it's really just a faster-paced, larger-scale version of the opening for the first film, using the same characters in much the same way. Is Slinky always a force field dog? Is Rex always an attack dinosaur? Surely Andy's imagination is more fertile than that.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, so a couple things. First of all, they didn't actually portray, like, depict the force field dog on screen, you know? Or, you know what I mean? Like, it was Andy imagining those things in the first film. And second of all, that movie was 15 years ago. You know, so it's like, really, you know?
Yeah, sorry, we didn't all watch the first two right before we watched the third one.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh my gosh, it's just all these like nitpicks that are completely inconsequential. I guess that's what a lot of people think when they listen to the Slash Homecast. Actually, well, here we go. My positive perception of the film was completely and utterly destroyed when Lotso revealed himself to be a two-faced elitist scumbag who would stop at nothing to further his continued position of power. He was like a fluffy, strawberry-scented Dick Cheney. He'll smile for the cameras, but when the lights go down and the playroom doors lock, his eyes will roll back into his furry head as he slowly devours your soul. When his origins was explained, I thought, this doesn't make sense. Jessie was abandoned by her owner, but she didn't decide to become a malignant and manipulative bitch. I accept that if the toys are alive, then they have free will. But if it's what the screenwriters dictated Lotso to choose to do with that free will, that I will call into question. Lotso's black heart is unnecessary and uncalled for. It belongs in an adult story, not a toy story.
Well, then. I'm sorry you couldn't handle the evil villain. It really doesn't seem. I don't even know what to say to that. Yeah. I really like Garfip's comment.
Yeah. Let's see. Moving on. Aside from Lotso and Ken's betrayal.
Oh, by the way, does anyone actually think that, I mean, I was never really under the expectation, like the impression that Dick Cheney was a good person.
Yeah, like he had some front that was like Dick Cheney analogy.
Like he had this veneer that was like suddenly smashed when we went to war. It's just it's really nothing like.
Okay,
that.
Here we go. Here we go. Aside from Lotso and Ken's betrayal, the gulag sequence was especially disturbing. Not only have Andy's toys been locked up in very small cages, which we know they wouldn't like, as we have plenty of examples of how claustrophobic all of them are, but then, wait, what? But then we have a temporarily insane Buzz Lightyear practically goose-stepping back and forth on guard like some kind of space Nazi. Guantanamo Bay torture anyone? Setting aside the obvious impropriety of such material for child audiences, as an adult, I was flabbergasted. What possible reason could justify such ugly real-world threats in the toy world? What next? Will one of the toys betray another to curry favor with the deranged Buzz? I was also disgusted that Buzz's character was used against his friends, even without his knowledge. Here's the thing. This review reads like an angry, you know, 12-year-old wrote it.
Yeah.
But with like actually very good literary skills.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Sounds like he really couldn't handle anything negative that happened.
Any of the darker...
I don't know if he likes conflict.
Any of the darker themes. And he uses big words here, too, that I actually admire the vocabulary here. Pernicious is a good one. Here. Let me just read you one more paragraph and then... Oh, wait, no. Here's a good one. This is a spoiler. At a crucial moment, Lotso is rescued from certain death by one of Andy's toys, and he manages to climb his way off up to the off switch for the conveyor belt. Does Lotso turn it off and rescue the toys as a karmic thank you for his renewed existence? No! He consigns them to their fate with a quick and hateful jibe and then runs away. Lotso's refusal to save Andy's toy reveals the full depth of his extreme pathology. He is willing, through his complete lack of altruism, to commit murder. Attention, children. Here's a shining example of how to handle yourself when the chips are down. Look out for number one. When Lotso cut and ran, I actually yelled out, F you, but with the actual F word. Not only at Lotso's complete lack of gratitude for saving his life, but also to everyone at Pixar, who allowed this burgeoning serial killer to see the light of CG day in his children's film. Hey kids, life got you down? Feeling bad about how you've been treated? Well, you'll feel a whole lot better by making others suffer just as much or even more than you have. Revenge is a dish best served cold with a side of betrayal and an appetizer of duplicity. Murder can pave the way to your success. So a couple things about that. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Mike.
This is, that's remarkable. But I think, yeah, I don't know. It's really hard to say. It's really hard to talk about.
Well, what I think.
Comment on. I think it's just, this guy doesn't watch movies very much.
Well, I think he's just, you know, he doesn't want any of these darker themes introduced into his sort of pure Toy Story movie. But what's
Well, I mean, go. He's acting like Lotso was like, written into the script as some kind of role model.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like kids should do this. Emulate this behavior.
Yeah. I don't understand, like, he's who you're not supposed to be like.
Yeah.
You know, his betrayal is supposed to disgust you. You know? Yeah. It disgusted me. I was disgusted. Yeah. But also,
you hear that, reviewer guy? We're all disgusted.
Also, He actually yells out "F you" in a theater full of kids.
Yeah, like, I know.
And he's afraid Pixar is the one that's being the bad influence.
Yeah, What a class act. That's a class act.
And on that note, I think we can wrap up.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to me, everyone.
Yeah, thanks to everyone in the chat room for checking this out. Mike, if you have Skype now, I think we should do this more often.
Okay, well, I don't have very many interesting things to say, but
I think we can drag them out of you, Michael.
All right, we'll see.
All right, guys. Wait, Mike, stay on the line.
Yeah, what did happen to Andy's dad? Man, this movie is really dark and about divorce.
Andy has no father.
The dark side of divorce.
Andy has no father, but a much younger daughter. I think sister is what you're saying. Either his dad died recently or something else is going on and never talked about. Let's see. Toy Story, Andy's father. Let's Google that.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever seen him, right?
Where is Andy's father? He doesn't even feature at the Christmas scene at the end of the... Hold on. Andy's father. Are Disney suggesting this is a one-parent family? And the answer to here by some random internet guy is, Disney has had a growing trend to show more unconventional families. They view it as a reflection of today's changing times. How about the following? Nemo's mother, both of Lilo's parents, Jasmine's mother. What were Lilo's parents in Lilo and Stitch?
I don't know. Hawaiian?
Yeah. I didn't remember. Anyway, point being, yeah, Andy's father is never depicted. So it's...
Oh, Lilo's parents died, I think.
Oh.
And she was raised by her sister?
Yeah, actually, that sounds more familiar.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that is interesting that that's never brought
up. Yeah, Disney does often kill off parents. Why doesn't this guy talk about how tragic it is that parents die?
Well, it doesn't happen on screen, and I think this guy is a very literal reviewer.
Well, I mean, Bo Peep and Wheezy were sold off screen.
All right.
That seemed to be a big problem for
I'm going to wrap this up. People in the chat room, thanks for tuning in. We'll do this again
Woody,
sometime.
Woody is Andy's dad.
See you guys later.
All right. Good night, everyone.